This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
To Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. The phone number is 312-332-3776. A lot to do tonight on the show. Sometimes I just say that, Abdallah, to get us going, to get the show going. But really, there's a lot to do. We're going to talk about The Last Dance, Michael Jordan, everything going on with the Chicago Bulls. A nostalgic look back at the Bulls as we get ready for Sunday. We have the NFL draft next Thursday night and next weekend. We have a ton of information to get to with that. The Lions, are they going to move the third pick? Is Tua going to be a top five draft pick? Where will Jalen Hurts go? That will all be covered on tonight's show. But more importantly, we have breaking Bears news tonight. The Chicago Bears are releasing tight end Trey Burton just after two seasons. The team announced on Friday, Burton, who's 28, joined the Bears prior to the 2018 season on a four-year deal for $22 million in guarantees. He only played eight games last season. He played in all 16 the year before, but basically a player with high expectations when Ryan Pace brought him to Chicago, now on his way out from the Chicago Bears. And I think if we look at it, if we're keeping track and we're keeping score to Ryan Pace and the positives and the negatives to what he's accomplished as a GM, I think, once again, the concern goes right back to the tight end position this offseason, because you signed Jimmy Graham. We were concerned when the signing was made. We thought, okay, if Graham and Burton can combine, give you the production of a number one tight end, things might be okay. Now Burton, released.
I think that it's a problem, because everyone except for Allen Robinson that Ryan Pace has signed, I think in 2018, is off the team at this point. And so you have to now look at your tight end room. You have Jimmy Graham, who they gave $9 million to. You have Adam Shaheen. You have BoJack Horseman, or whatever his name is, Horsted.
And then Will Arnett is voicing a cartoon horse for the Chicago Bears. Is that what you did?
BoJack Horseman, and they've got nine tight ends. If you can name, without looking, all nine tight ends, I have a crisp $100 bill for you.
There's no way.
No chance, right?
There's no chance.
Now you can't go into this season and improve on one of the worst offenses in the league with Jimmy Graham and Adam Shaheen as your tight end, which leads me to believe, Chris, that they will indeed, as Mel Kiper Jr. put in his latest mock draft 4.0, they will be drafting a tight end, whether it's Cole Kmet or whoever it is. But you have to have a young, talented tight end for this system. You have to. And Jimmy Graham is not the guy, and we've seen it. Adam Shaheen is not the guy. Adam Shaheen is probably going to get cut as well, I would assume, after camp, because if they go to camp with him and he's not getting it out, I'm sorry. And then what do you go with? You've got BoJack Horseman and you've got Jimmy Graham.
That's not really his name.
Jesper Horsted.
Yeah, there you go. The horse
Jesper
and the
Horsted.
Yeah. You were close, to be honest. And actually, BoJack actually has more catches across the middle, so it's a fair way to do it. But you're right. And when I look at the draft next week, I was not allotting the space in my brain to think that the Bears are going to take a tight end with one of those second round picks. But now it seems like you kind of have to, which once again, it seems like Ryan Pace is backing himself in a corner, something that he is often wont to do. Isn't that the way that he GMs this team? He seems to be a guy that kind of makes decisions that backs himself into more corners. 312-332-3776. The Bears are releasing Trey Burton after two seasons. Mark and Logan Square, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mark?
What's up, fellas? Usually Bleck, I'm calling you a hater. Spot on tonight, though. I don't understand the thought process behind this one bit. If they were going to do it, why not do it behind free agency? I don't know if there's a penalty. I don't know if we're saving. I haven't seen any of those details, but it makes no sense whatsoever. And to follow up on what you were saying, Abdallah, I don't even want Shaheen to go to training camp. And that's all I have to say, guys. Thanks for being on. Have a good night.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate it. To answer your question, Jeff Dickerson on ESPN.com has the article about the Chicago Bears releasing Trey Burton. And in the article, it says the Bears open up $6.8 million worth of salary cap space by designating Burton as a post-June 1 cut. But Chicago is still on the hook for $4 million guaranteed left on the contract. I wonder, Abdallah, if this move was done earlier in the offseason, whether or not the spending on a person like Jimmy Graham would have been different. If they would have gone for a different tight end, knowing that Trey Burton was going to be cut anyway. And the timing of this, I question as well, because what? So did you find something new out medically to figure out that you needed to cut him now?
They had to.
Okay, but no one's doing anything. Everyone's at home. Stay at home for everyone. The team facility is not open.
You do a little Zoom test.
Yeah, but
twist the hip.
Trey Burton's not going into the facility. So what are you learning since free agency started and since the offseason program kind of stopped and since we've kind of started dealing with COVID-19 and everyone's staying at home? Mm-hmm. What has taken place to why the Bears are releasing Trey Burton tonight?
It is
a weird move a week before the draft.
Well, it's a weird move given the fact that you gave Jimmy Graham $9 million. It's a weird move because if he's healthy, you still hoped that he was going to be good. The only way that I could see this working out is that you're going to eat the money that you were going to pay him. You're going to eat that whatever $4 million or some odd it is. It depends on if he signs with the team, because
$4 million guaranteed. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but then I forget the exact word for it. But if another team picks him up, they're on the hook for whatever they sign him for, and that comes off what the Bears have to pay him. So if he signs a $1 million deal, the Bears only have to pay him $3 million. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that being the case, A rookie in the second round is going to be cheaper. So you can't, there's no other tight end that you can go out there and get. Maybe O.J. Howard is rumored to be on the trading block. Maybe you trade one of your later round picks for O.J. Howard and see if he works out. But he's never played 16 games in his career because he's had injury problems as well. So this to me looks like a move. They're trying to save some money. Whatever it is, two some odd million. You signed another offensive lineman today. You signed a kicker to have some competition for Eddie Pinheiro. And now this is also, why would you do this a week before the draft and tip your hand? They're drafting a tight end.
Well,
they're drafting a tight end.
And I know I'm repeating myself now, but now this annoys me that one of those second round picks, you probably have to take a tight end. And you might get a damn good one in the second round. From everything I've read, it seems as if you don't get one of the first two or three tight ends in this year's draft, it seems as if it's not as deep of a class. Obviously, we could always be proven wrong after the fact, but from what it looks like heading into this draft, a shallow group of tight ends. Not as many, not a deep field of tight ends. So you have to pick earlier to get that guy that you need. Cole Kmet might be a fantastic option. He might be a great player for the Chicago Bears, but now, how are you addressing the offensive line? You clearly cannot go tight end quarterback in the second round. And then, are you going to have a second wide receiver to pair with Allen Robinson?
Dude, I'm telling you.
You know, there are a lot of needs on offense alone, not to mention that you probably should be drafting a cornerback. You need a safety.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always add bigs on the defensive line.
So
Ryan Pace has limited draft picks, right? And next weekend, Abdallah and I will be here in the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th rounds on Saturday afternoon. We will be on all Saturday afternoon with you on ESPN 1000, breaking down the NFL draft, talking Bears football with you. I am concerned now because, like you said, Abdallah, Ryan Pace tipped his hand. They will be drafting a tight end. And we thought two that they had coming into today, Burton and Graham, mm-hmm. you hope for average production out of both of them. Now you have one. I'm not sold that Graham can get it done. Now you're going to have to draft somebody.
Here's my prediction, and I've been to the future. This is fact at this point. And I didn't know what position he was going to draft with one of the two picks, but I did know this, Chris. I did know that when Ryan Pace got to the second round, what he would do is use one of those picks mm-hmm. on a position, wide receiver, corner, tight end. I didn't think that they were going to go tight end because leading into today, you had Trey Burton, you had Adam Shaheen, you had BoJack Horseman, you had Jimmy Graham, you had all these guys, right? And I'm going to always call him BoJack Horseman.
Well, I mean, it's just, you're just going to keep going to that joke. You're waiting for the Rachel Ray laugh. No, when we had Rachel Ray on the show, she gave us this laugh. You're waiting for it to come out. You're also waiting to do it so many times to beat the dead horse into the ground with your joke.
Jesper Horsted.
You're waiting for the sound effect to move
on.
It's
just his name.
You were talking to the sound effect. I know what you were doing.
And then, okay, and then what Ryan Pace is going to do is he's going to trade back. He has to. You name too many positions and not enough draft picks. They don't have any money. I don't know what they gave the offensive lineman that they signed today. I don't know what they gave the kicker that they signed today. Probably Arab, by the way. Probably the best Bears player that they have right now is him.
Is that a personal bias?
Ramiz Ahmed.
Okay.
Ramiz Ahmed.
Personal bias? Where did he play
Nevada.
College? Nevada?
Yeah. How about that?
I was just asking. I didn't know.
There's no taking anything.
I think he's glad to take it.
Take it.
But why the that?
Take whatever you want to. Just take it.
I am.
Fine, take it.
But why is it always take that?
Take it.
Take it. Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I think he's going to draft a tight end. Now I think that Ryan Pace, I've been to the future. I went to the future after this happened. We had an hour break between Waddle and Sylvie and the start of our show.
Okay.
I went to the future.
So you did some casual time traveling?
I did some casual time traveling. I went to the future. I came back in time for our Periscope video that you posted at Chris Black, at C Black on Twitter. And I looked at it.
Sure.
And I went to the future and I said, Ryan Pace, what are you going to do? And he goes, I'll tell you in a second after I make these picks. And he traded back. He drafted Cole Kmet.
Uh-huh.
And he traded back in the draft to get more picks. They got a third. They got a cut off another fourth. They got a fifth. They got all these great picks now because you have to. You mentioned, how many positions did you mention that they need? And they don't have that many picks because once you get into the sixth and seventh round, it's all BS anyway. Like, you don't know if these guys, you need impactful. These guys are coaching and GMing for their jobs. If they do not make the playoffs this year, they will be out of jobs. And so you need impact players. Now, Ryan Pace has done a very good job of finding impact players in the fourth round. And he doesn't have that fourth round pick anymore because he traded it for Nick Foles, that compensatory pick. So they have 2 second round picks, and then we won't see Ryan Pace again until the fifth round, until they trade this draft pick. Because he needs more picks, because he needs more bodies, cheap bodies on this team that will make an impact. And where do you get those guys? Cheap bodies that make an impact? Second round, third round, fourth round.
That's Am Abdallah. I'm Chris Black. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776 is the phone number. Listening on the ESPN Chicago app in Los Angeles is Dan. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say there is no way we should draft Jalen Hurts in the second round.
Why?
If he's at all the quarterback that you say he is, which you say it all the time, then Nick Saban's going to call his best friend, Bill Belichick, and tell him to draft him first. And if he doesn't take him before it gets to our turn, then that is a clear and obvious sign that Jalen Hurts is not the quarterback that we would hope he is.
I agree with you, Dan. But I also think that there's a chance that the Patriots have a ton of picks. I think that there's a chance that they move up to maybe take like Jordan Love or something like that. I think even on their own website, they had them, their mock draft on their own website had them taking Jordan Love, who I would say is better than Jalen Hurts. Like, we can all agree that Jordan Love's better than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and I'm with you on the concept. Now, I don't necessarily agree that Saban will give Belichick the tip on Hurts, because he once had him. If anything, I think Saban will be letting Belichick know that Tua's the real deal.
Yeah.
And if you are going to package all this stuff, you might as well get up to three and take that Lions pick and offer them the farm if you can
and
to get
listening.
Tua. And Abdallah's right, Dan. So thank you for the phone call. But I agree with Abdallah on the Patriots. They are going to move. I think the Patriots are the player here. And they're going to land a quarterback in the first
round. You talk about treating draft picks like they're nothing. The Patriots do not care about draft picks. They trade them for players all the time. They look at it as, there was a lot of discussion earlier this week, the last couple days, about trading for Odell Beckham, right? And if you could trade a 2 and a 5 for Odell Beckham, would you do it? And essentially, it'd be like drafting Odell Beckham with your second round pick. Would you do that? Would you draft a guaranteed player who you know is good with your second pick rather than taking an unknown? Of course, with your second round pick, of course you would. And that's the argument for what the Patriots do. Would you draft, if you can get Tua for a few picks Would you do it? Of course you would if you think he's going to be a franchise quarterback.
You want to talk football with us? 312-332-3776. The Bears release Trey Burton. Your thoughts next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
The Chicago Bears releasing tight end Trey Burton after two seasons per ESPN.com. Adam Schefter with the news. Two seasons, Burton played all 16 2 years ago. Last year, only eight games before suffering a season-ending calf injury. And basically, the injuries and trying to get through games the entire time his career here in Chicago has been the storyline with Trey Burton. At no point did we ever say this guy was becoming one of the best tight ends in the National Football League. There was a lot of promise, but we did not see him actually live up to the potential that we thought he had.
And the hope was with extended time off here in this offseason from his last game until now, until the season starts, that he would be fully healthy, because the tight end position is such an important part in Matt Nagy's offense. And you, especially with you, consider this. Consider this, Chris. Consider who the
I'm considering
who the new quarterback of the Chicago Bears is. Nick Foles. Do you think that Nick Foles and Trey Burton have a relationship?
Perhaps.
But maybe they played together.
Maybe something special.
You think?
Maybe a Philly special, perhaps?
Maybe they reverse roles a little bit?
Maybe a Philly special? You're telling me they can't get that going again?
My point is, you would think that with Nick Foles coming in, that it would be even more like, oh, now, and he knows Trey Burton. This would be great. Let's work that connection. Nope, gone. Sorry.
Cut. The tale of the tape for Trey Burton in 2018. 16 games played, 54 receptions, 76 targets, 569 yards. He had 6 touchdowns. He had 1 fumble. Last season, 8 games played, 14 receptions, 24 targets, only 84 yards on the season. No touchdowns from Trey Burton. Let's go to Scott on the south side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Scott?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I really enjoy the show.
Thanks, man. But
I'm surprised that I haven't really heard anybody say yet, and what really scares me is if Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are coaching for their jobs, Ryan Pace, he's going to trade away all of his future round picks to draft for this year. And, you know, honestly, that really scares me, because if things don't work out, we're going to be hamstrung for years ahead.
Now, Scott, let me follow up on that. Isn't that what Pace has done to this point and why they're in the spot that they're in?
That's his MO. He trades away future for the present, and he hasn't been good. The only thing that gives me hope is that Matt Nagy is there to kind of help him with drafting. So
I've compared it to,
thanks for the call, Scott.
In the past. Thank you, Scott. I've compared it in the past that Ryan Pace is the guy that opens up a credit card, maxes it out, and then does the balance transfer to another credit card that has like a year with no APR, with you don't have to pay the interest, and then he never pays it off, and then just moves it to another credit card that transfers that balance to another credit card, and he's just transferring the same balance to different credit cards, and eventually you can't get credit.
What's wrong with that?
No, I mean, look.
I mean, me being an individual that's been in situations like that in the past. What's wrong with that? It seems like you're kind of judgmental on this.
Who among us? I mean, I'm not saying I haven't done that.
In these times, Abdallah, in these
who
times.
Who among us? Listen.
What are you talking about
over
there?
I'm not saying I haven't checked it out recently. Who among us? Okay? I'm just saying that eventually, and I know this
while
doing it, it comes back. It's going to bite you in the ass. It happens.
Not to up your analogy with a better analogy, but what if it's more like someone who goes on vacation without actually planning a return trip home? Have you ever meet someone who's like, I'm going to go to Europe with a backpack, and I'm just going to go, and then they show up in Spain And you're like, when are you coming back?
No return ticket.
Yeah. No return ticket and a backpack and no place to stay. And they say, I'm just going to go. Have you ever met someone like that?
Yeah.
You like those people?
Well, people also that don't have places to stay when they go. And they're like, hey, can I stay with you for like 4 days?
And they're like, I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah.
That's too much figuring. I could never.
Stop using my shower.
Saleem and Elgin, have you ever met someone that just went somewhere and didn't have a return trip home?
I have not.
That's weird, right?
A little bit, but I mean, I guess as someone that's kind of a free spirit, I could see that happening.
Like Ryan Pace with draft picks.
I guess so. I want to ask this. I'm not very draft savvy when it comes to the NFL. What were like the talks about Lamar Jackson 2 years back? And the reason I'm asking about Lamar Jackson because I'm thinking of Jalen Hurts. I don't know how comparable they are as prospects. I know they're both talented athletes. Did they both have questionable pocket presence and throwing ability and stuff like that?
That's a good question, Saleem. We'll look it up. I know.
So Lamar Jackson had his the year before his final year at Louisville was great.
His Heisman year, right?
Was his Heisman year. And then they lost a bunch of pieces, and he didn't have as great of a year. And remember, there was all the talks, should he be a wide receiver, all that kind of stuff. They didn't want him to be quarterback, and then the Ravens changed their system to fit him. I've heard the comparisons to Jalen Hurts, but Jalen has said from the jump that no teams at the combine, no teams that he has met with have asked him to play anything but quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, there's not the, hey, we think you'd be great as like a gadget guy. It's like, no, we want you to play. Every team that he's met with so far has wanted him to be quarterback. Now, that being said, is he a guy who's really good with his legs, who can be that Lamar Jackson? He's not going to be Lamar Jackson. He's not as good as Lamar Jackson. He's like Lamar Jackson light. But Lamar Jackson light is better than Mitchell Trubisky.
Still damn good.
And so if you have Jalen Hurts, let's say you find a way to move away from Trubisky. You trade him. All right, I'm just talking hypotheticals. You trade Mitchell Trubisky. You get like a fifth or sixth round pick for him. You draft Jalen Hurts, and he becomes your guy, your backup quarterback to Nick Foles, who comes in every once in a while as that change of pace with the threat to run, because he's more of that kind of guy than a, you know, like, he's not going to be as good as Lamar Jackson. I could be wrong, but from watching him at Alabama and at Oklahoma, I don't think he's going to be as good. He's more accurate, but I don't think he's going to be as good as Lamar Jackson, but he's got that definite threat to run, for sure.
Well, there was, you know, with Lamar Jackson, the things that I remember was that the build was always brought up, like, is he too frail to be a running quarterback and to be that size, right, in the NFL. The problem that people don't consider is if you can't get touched in college, chances are if you're that elusive, you're probably going to be somewhat elusive on the next level.
Yeah.
Then you get the terrible takes from like a Bill Polian, I know was before in a quick Google search, has pointed out that Polian thought he didn't have the, quote, I'm doing air quotes, the look
he
of a quarterback.
Apologized
the coded
that.
Language, the
he
look of a quarterback.
Apologized.
There's also, I'm seeing some different stuff that Louisville didn't have a very complex offense.
Yeah.
So they were worried he'd be able to pick up an offense on the next level.
Yeah.
You know, listen, here's the way I look at this stuff. I watch a lot of college football. I love college football. Abdallah, Hood, myself, we host a college football show here on ESPN 1000. Can we project every player from college football into the NFL?
Yes.
Probably not.
Oh.
We probably can't.
No.
The one thing I can do is I can point out and see a person play in college football and understand whether or not they are better than other college football players, and then guess whether or not they can make it at the next level. Lamar Jackson was good in college football. Was he the number one option? No.
Mm-mm.
He was not the best quarterback coming out. And I think even if you asked teams around the league, who would you rather have for the next 10 years, Sam Darnold or Lamar Jackson? I'm sure more than half will probably pick Sam Darnold based on his ability to throw the football downfield.
Well, it's also because you have the Cam Newton theory, where if you're going to run and the Ravens are going to use Lamar Jackson the way they use Lamar Jackson.
Because people who get hit get hurt.
Yeah, exactly. It's you get hit, you get hurt. It's going to happen.
But I never like the dismissive idea that a player who is so good in college football can't be good on the next level. That's crazy.
Oh, we're going to get into it about Jalen. At 7:35 right. With Brett Coleman.
Rafael and Juliet, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's going on?
I just wanted to ask you, if you thought, well, if you guys think the release of Trey Burton makes the Jimmy Graham signing look even worse.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of an optimist. My whole thought process was when they signed Jimmy Graham, I can accept it because that means that that must mean they think Trey Burton's the true number one, that he was just injured. So I'm kind of just kind of shocked they released him right now.
I actually think it makes it look better because if you had a tight end, if you thought Trey Burton was
better,
just listen.
I'm waiting for it. Raphael's waiting for it.
If you thought that Trey Burton was going to be your number one tight end, why would you give Graham $9 million? But now that he might be your number one, if you don't draft someone, $9 million doesn't look so bad.
What about the production?
Well, he's not good.
Nick and Gurneen, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Good. So, Adam, I agree with you that the Bears are going to trade back.
Thank you, Nick.
I think they should do is they should take, like, pick 43, trade back into the 50s, get a pick in the 50s, a third rounder, and then a fifth round next year to move up, right? And then I think to complement Eddie Jackson, a guy I would look at is, like, Tony Jefferson. I know he's coming off of injury, so maybe they could get a little bit of a discount there because of the uncertainty of him not being fully healthy. And what do you guys think about a guy like Thaddeus Moss?
Ooh, Thaddeus Moss. He's pretty good. Thanks for the call, Nick.
I mean, I like Thaddeus Moss. I think that I'm trying to go through all the numbers he was going through of trading back and getting this pick for this pick. So I think they're definitely going to trade back, for sure. I don't know about trading picks to get picks for next year. You need as many picks now.
Right.
Right? You don't need picks for next year to move up this year. You need picks this year. You have to win this year. You have to make the playoffs in whatever form of season there is. You have to make the playoffs this year. Otherwise, you're losing your job. So trading back makes the most sense, to me, at least.
Brett Coleman from YouTube, his page is fantastic, breaking down quarterbacks, getting us ready for the NFL draft. He's one of our favorite football guests. Brett Coleman will talk quarterbacks in the NFL draft with Black and Abdallah next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Coming up in 10 minutes here on ESPN 1000, Black and Abdallah, we have a new segment, Abdallah, called Bulls Backstory. We're going to look at, over the course of the next month, every time Black and Abdallah are on the air, we're going to pick a new moment, a new highlight, and kind of give you more of a in-depth backstory to that said highlight each time we're on the air. So we'll do one tonight at 8 o'clock, Bulls Backstory. On Sunday morning, we'll give you another one. Tonight, we are going to look at the Jordan layup, switching hands, game 2, 91 finals, Bulls, Lakers. Take a look at that because I think there's some information there that maybe the millennial or the Gen Zer doesn't know. Maybe if you experienced it when you were younger and you watched it live, the things to kind of look back and kind of look at that moment to why it was so special. We're going to talk about that coming up in 10 minutes.
You Zoomers don't know about switching hands?
Well, I'm just saying, we're going to dive into it, and obviously The Last Dance will debut on Sunday, and all our coverage here on ESPN 1000 of The Last Dance is presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill. So we're going to talk some Bulls coming up in a couple minutes here on ESPN 1000.
Can't wait.
Let's talk to Junior in Washington. He goes to Washington State. I think he asked us to ask Brett Coleman about Anthony Gordon. So now he's following up on the question that Coleman gave us the answer to. Junior, your response to Coleman, who gave us the scouting report on Anthony Gordon.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, man?
I did ask you to ask him. And obviously, he may have – maybe speaking now especially, he may know more football than I'll ever know. But to sit here and give the explanation that he did about what he thought about Anthony Gordon and his arm strength and, oh, if he's playing in a dome, maybe. Has this man ever been to Pullman, Washington?
I knew you were going to say that.
It's freezing.
The Palouse!
It's the Palouse, baby! It's freezing with Anthony practice. Mike Leach will make these guys go practice. And the first week that there's snow in Pullman, Mike Leach's thing, Coach Leach's thing was, the first two practices, we're going to practice with an unclean field. So however much snow was there, a lot of people didn't like it around town because, you know, maybe that raises the risk for injury for the guys. But to sit here and say that my man Anthony can't play in the elements is absurd. And on top of that, a group of like 15 of us went to the Senior Bowl. If we go back and look at Anthony's numbers and I don't have them in front of me, Justin Herbert, for some freaking reason, got the MVP of the game. But if you sat there and watched all four quarters, the best quarterback on the field that day was Anthony Gordon. So, again, Brent probably knows more football than I'll ever know, but his assessment about Anthony and his talents are completely off, man. And if I could, before I hang up, just because I'm obviously can't call again, what I was going to call about was about the Bulls, Doc.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just curious on your guys' opinion because, like I told Adam earlier, I wasn't able to get home to Chicago because of the coronavirus and stuff. So after the close campus, I've moved in with the mother of my son for the time being. And we were watching the Michael Jordan interview yesterday and him kind of talking about how he was worried about how he was going to be betrayed and didn't want people to get the wrong idea of him. Well, she pointed out to me, hey, that's all good and well, but this is going to be essentially 10 hours of people crapping on Jerry Krause. How do you think his family is going to feel? So I'm just kind of curious on what your guys' take is. I appreciate your time. Thanks, guys. Love you guys.
No problem, Junior. Appreciate you tweeting, calling, and enjoy the Palouse. Mm-hmm. You know, Jerry Krause's family, yeah, there's probably a lot of stuff in here that they're not going to like. I feel like this documentary is going to cover the good, the bad, and everything in between of this Bulls team, especially with this last run. And Jerry Krause was a major reason to why the last run had to end in 1998.
Look, Jerry Krause always wanted credit, right? Mm-hmm. He always wanted credit. It says it in the documentary. It says in the five-minute clip that it came out today, the first 5 minutes or whatever it is.
Yep.
And he always was mad that Jordan, Pippen, you know, Rodman in the second three-peat, that they got credit more so than he did. Well, he's going to get credit for something in the Last Dance.
I know hindsight is always there for us. But listen, Jerry Krause is also the one that tried to sell us the idea that the Bulls were going to have the baby Twin Towers to kind of make up for the end of the Jordan era. Like, and as a diehard Bulls fan, I went to the United Center many times on $10 tickets in the 300 level
less
when I was in high school because I wanted to see a bad Bulls team because I loved Bulls basketball so much with an Eddie Curry, a Tyson Chandler, a Jalen Rose shooting 15-foot jump shots to pad his stats. I remember Eddie Curry with the defender, or he's defending an offensive player and his headband getting pushed over his eyes. Instead of playing defense, he's futzing. With his headband so he can see. Meanwhile, the player just dribbled around him for a dunk.
You can't play defense if you can't see.
Well, I'm saying that there was not a lot of effort on that end. And Krause was a part of those teams. I mean, let's be real.
Dude, we went to games for free so much when they were so bad.
Yeah, I mean, but do you remember the immediate sell job on what this team was going to be the moment the dynasty was over?
Yep.
The sell was Tyson and Eddie were going to be the next great players here for the next 10 to 15 years, like Jordan and Pippen were. Bulls backstory. The switch of hands against the Lakers. 91 finals. Game two. That's next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.